Welcome to Total Health Talks, your Cook County Health Podcast, where we empower your journey to better health. I'm your host, Maggie McKay, and today we're going to talk with endocrinologist Dr. Uzma Syed about PMOS 101, or polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome, and what every woman should know. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Syed.
Thank you so much for having me here. And this is a topic which is very close to my heart. I love joining you and talking about it.
Awesome. So let's start simple. What is polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome, formerly known as PCOS?
Yes, so that's what I was going to mention, that more people might be familiar with the older name PCOS, but the new name is polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome, or PMOS. And why was the name changed? The name change is there to reflect the fact that it's not just an ovarian abnormality, but there are other hormonal and endocrine and metabolic abnormalities involved too. So what is it? It's a syndrome, which means it's a multi-system disorder, which primarily affects reproductive age women. The obvious effects are in reproductive age women, but the hormonal and metabolic abnormalities actually span the whole life of women who carry this diagnosis or who will be diagnosed with this. So it can start in the pre-adolescent or adolescent years, and the implications extend beyond the reproductive years into the postmenopausal years also.
And just real quick, how common is it and who does it usually affect?
In the United States, about 5 to 6 million women have this, about 3 to 11% adolescent women, and about 10 to 13% women of reproductive age have this.
Are there any certain groups that it affects more than others?
So by default, like I said, one of the biggest abnormalities is it affects fertility. So women of reproductive age, the diagnosis is skewed towards women of reproductive age. In our practice, I've even had women, older women, who didn't know this, they have this diagnosis. But we have diagnosed even women after menopause due to the metabolic implications it carries.
What are the most common symptoms people should look out for?
The most common symptom, depending on a patient's age, either a family member or a parent or a patient notices themselves, is either no menses, absence of menses, or irregular menses. In my practice and in my opinion, the second most common is hirsutism, having excessive body and facial hair, but losing hair on the scalp. But there's associated weight gain, there's acne, there is also behavioral associated symptoms of depression and anxiety due to issues with body image, especially in reproductive age women, in adolescent and reproductive age women.
So how do doctors diagnose this condition?
The initial step in diagnosis is reviewing the signs and symptoms, some of which I had mentioned earlier, during a physical exam. Depending on which symptom, what phase of life you are seeing the patient at, you can focus on asking more about one particular symptom, but you do overall the symptoms I mentioned, irregular menses and weight gain and the dermatological manifestations, you ask more detail. Next step, like any other medical evaluation, involves blood tests. And some of those blood tests involve checking for actual male and female hormone levels, because some of the abnormalities involve high male hormone levels too. You also test for the metabolic abnormalities, which include checking for blood sugar levels, for cholesterol levels, because the good cholesterol is low, the bad cholesterol is high. You check for certain biomarkers, which indicate a higher risk for cardiovascular disease, especially in later years. Imaging is also done, which involves an ovarian ultrasound. So that's the basic diagnostic workup where you start things.
How does PMOS affect ovulation and fertility? Do people with PMOS usually need help getting pregnant? And are there fertility treatment options available?
So the basic reproductive abnormality is that the women have anovulatory cycles, meaning that they are not making or making very rarely ova or eggs, which lead to conception. So yes, there are medications which specifically assist in improving ovulation and fertility. And there are procedures also which can assist these patients in conceiving. But one point I want to make over here for the general audience and for medical professionals, if they are listening to this, is that if a woman with PCOS is having difficulty conceiving, obviously you address all the hormonal and endocrine reproductive aspects, but in conception, we know the male factor is there also, so that should not be overlooked. And most reproductive endocrinologists and gynecologists are cognizant of that. They are aware of that. Sometimes the girls with PCOS take the, I shouldn't use the word blame, but they kind of take the responsibility of not having successful conception on them, but the workup for the male is also part of any workup for infertility.
And how is PMOS treated overall? Does that change depending on someone's stage of life?
Overall, the primary goal is the restoration of ovulation. But again, depending on the phase of where the woman is in that spectrum of PCOS, adolescent girls, obviously, restoration of ovulation and restoration of menstruation, decreasing the androgen levels, whether you are at adolescent or you are on a reproductive cycle, or even if you are in the postmenopausal status, lowering the male hormone levels, because lowering the male hormone levels by default address some of the skin or dermatological concerns like acne and excessive hair and scalp hair loss, and they indirectly also help in ovulation. So that's the reproductive, the metabolic. So throughout the span, whether it's adolescent, reproductive age or postmenopausal, the metabolic abnormalities are always addressed. You address excessive weight. The specific medications we can use, we use metformin, GLP-1 receptor agonist, statins to manage weight gain, to manage either pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes as such, to manage insulin resistance, to manage high cholesterol levels. Then in the postmenopausal years, the focus shifts a little from restoration of fertility to making sure that some of the acquired risk factors which come with the diagnosis of PMOS are addressed. So increased risk of cardiovascular disease, increased risk of endometrial cancer. So yes, the therapeutic focus does shift a little, but some of the basic principles remain uniform across the whole spectrum.
Let's talk about lifestyle changes like diet, exercise, or self-care. Can those really make a difference?
So the same general principles of good lifestyle apply to PMOS, which apply to anybody else. Maintaining a healthy weight, being physically active, eating a balanced and healthy diet, and paying attention to mental and behavioral well-being. There's recent increased focus on this aspect because a lot of times the anxiety and depression stems from body image concerns, which actually have a pathological basis. The latest recommendation actually lays stress on this fact that the behavioral and mental well-being should also be stressed, you know, by the providers. But overall, basic good principles of a good lifestyle.
Dr. Syed, are there any supplements or nutritional approaches that can help manage symptoms?
So far, no specific diets have been recommended that either do a ketogenic diet or a gluten-free. Nothing like that has been recommended as such. But again, as I mentioned in replying to the previous question, that eating a healthy, balanced diet, eating fruits and vegetables, managing your weight, being physically active, and not eating processed foods, eating whole grains, that applies across the board. And in the modern era, people have some dietary restrictions. So, you know, paying attention to them, because that already adds to the inflammatory milieu, which is slightly heightened in these women with PCOS. But no specific diets have been recommended so far.
Does PMOS affect more than just fertility? What should people understand about the bigger picture?
Once again, as the name indicates, this is not a single disease. It's a syndrome. It's a combination of hormonal, reproductive, and metabolic abnormalities. So again, major focus is on restoration of menstruation and fertility in the pre-adolescent and adolescent years. The overall presentation or picture, however, throughout the lifespan of PMOS, again, addresses the metabolic abnormalities, which is like weight gain, preventing diabetes, preventing pre-diabetes, maintaining a healthy lipid or cholesterol profile. And another thing is that even when the women with PMOS get pregnant, they have a higher prevalence of miscarriages, of gestational diabetes, of pregnancy-associated high blood pressure, and premature delivery. So all these aspects are addressed. Some other things which you don't automatically associate with the PMOS is sleep apnea. And then once again, coming back to the behavioral aspects. And then after menopause, the increased risk of endometrial cancer. So it's not just fertility, all these aspects, different components of the syndrome have to be addressed.
And before we wrap up, Dr. Syed, can you speak about how a multidisciplinary approach is really such a helpful way to go about dealing with PMOS, how you and other clinicians at Cook County Health collaborate to help optimize the care of women with this condition?
Yes, this is one condition which really, really exemplifies a multidisciplinary approach. Usually, it's diagnosed by a pediatrician or a GP. Initial symptoms might be noticed by a parent or a family member. As I had mentioned, there is assistance from a gynecologist, from an endocrinologist for restoration of fertility. You require the help of a reproductive endocrinologist or a fertility specialist for the dermatological manifestations. The dermatologist helps, behavioral health personnel, psychologist, psychiatrist help with dealing with anxiety, depression, and other behavioral issues they might be having. Even cosmetologists have a role in dealing physically with, you know, different techniques which help with the hirsutism and with the acne. The role of a general endocrinologist like myself is not just to assist all these other specialists at Cook County in reaching the diagnosis, but also ruling out certain other endocrine diseases which mimic PCOS. These could be acquired or congenital diseases. The most important ones which need to be ruled out are acquired and congenital conditions of the thyroid and the adrenal gland. So someone like me, that is a unique role which a general endocrinologist has in assisting other specialists. And like I mentioned, it is a multidisciplinary approach.
And finally, what advice would you give to someone who thinks they might have PMOS or is struggling with it?
So first of all, again, depending on the age of the person, the parent or the patient or person themselves should first confirm or rule out the diagnosis, discuss with their primary doctor, is it worthwhile to enlist the help of a gynecologist, a general endocrinologist, and further down the years, you know, a reproductive endocrinologist who will specifically assist in conception, and then maternal fetal medicine when these women do get pregnant, and then further on, as I said, that, you know, when they are older, evaluating for certain cancers. In a broader sense, some of the academic associations like the American Association of Clinical Endocrinology, like the Endocrine Society and the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists, they have very good education material which explains in very simple but scientific terms not just the pathophysiology, but who to reach out to and the things to look out for, and not just in a condescending way, but in an advisory way and giving them resources. So those are really good resources.
Thank you again so much for sharing your expertise. This has been so informative and helpful. It really sounds like Cook County has every avenue covered for people struggling with this.
Yes, I strongly believe that, because the whole Cook County setup is such that starting from a pediatrician up to geriatricians, we have all specialists available. And there are people like me who have a special interest in PMOS, you know. So yes, all services are available over here. And I hope this brief conversation helps people who already have, women who already have PMOS, some women who are thinking they have it, or, you know, family members, or the general audience, general population who just want to have a little more information about this. So it was a pleasure discussing this with you.
Thank you again. That's Dr. Uzma Syed. And as we wrap up another insightful episode of Total Health Talks, make sure to visit cookcountyhealth.org/podcast and subscribe to our podcast, share, and connect with us on social media. Stay tuned for more engaging discussions. This is Maggie McKay signing off from Total Health Talks. Stay well.